guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for SOAS by SOAS. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's episode, we're going to provide you with the ultimate Christmas wish list for every SOAS-ist.
Yes.
Now, this is something that we polled the audience and asked them, what are their must-haves? What are on their wish list items that they would love to have? What are their favorite organizational tools for their sewing room? And then what they would recommend for beginner sewists that they need to have to get started. So we've got four lists here that we're going to kind of go through. And then we also have Ashley and Bethany's top picks, like our favorite things in our sewing room that we always use, we always reach for, we couldn't live without. Are they necessarily things a beginner needs? No. But now that we have them, we couldn't imagine sewing without them. So we're going to go through that list as well. So we've got a lot of lists.
Yeah.
A lot of lists.
What we're going to do is we are going to create a PDF file that you can download off of the website. We're going to have links in the description box. And there you'll be able to download the list. And then there'll be a nice little decorative list that you can print out. And then you can write down what you want.
I like them.
You can take that list and you can hand it to your significant other, your secret Santa, you know, your kids.
Yeah.
You have it there for
Absolutely.
Them. And then there should be no, like, I don't know what to buy. Right there. It's all on the list.
Yeah. It's hard because we've been talking about this a lot lately, Ashley and I, about how, you know, our family members are like, we don't know what to get you. And we're like, but we sew.
I know.
Like, how hard can that be? But when you think about it and you put yourself in their shoes and they know nothing about sewing, it can be a lot. And there's a lot of sewing stuff. There's whole stores dedicated to sewing. So there's a lot to, and it can be very overwhelming to sewists, let alone people who have no clue what you need to sew. And they don't know what kind of, they understand what you need for your specific type of sewing. So, you know, this should help with that, because at the end of the day, your family member does want to gift you something that you actually want and could use and would need. And it's their way of saying, well, I support your hobby. I support your craft. I support your business, whatever it is. And this can help them with that. So we've put in some legwork for you guys. You guys even chimed in too. And we appreciate that, because there were some things that you guys said that we didn't even think about. And I was like, now I want one of those. So this is helping us with our list too. And then over on our website, we're going to have a blog post that goes into more detail of these items. And we're going to drop some links, some recommendations that you can then click on those links. And we'll try to like give you some price ranges that can kind of meet different budgets and to kind of start your search. But I know that there's going to be some things on this list that beginner sewists aren't going to know what they are. So having a link to be able to go find what that product is and research it and go, is this really something I could use right now or not, will help you create your wish list for Christmas and what you want to ask Santa for, which is why we're wearing our cute Santa hats. So if you're listening, we're being quite festive today. We have our Christmas outfits on. We've got our Santa outfits on, our hats on. I got my little gnome mug. Got my Christmas tree.
But, you know, as sewists, and we've been sewing for a very long time, if you have somebody in your life that, you know, is a beginner sewist, you're gifting them a sewing machine, and you just want to know, like, what are the, few things just to get them started?
The back to basics.
You have everything, but really the most important things that we believe, and also the people that we, our listeners, are believe as well, are the must-haves. You can access that list, and then you'll be able to maybe acquire a few items to hand off to the person with that sewing machine.
I agree. And a lot of these things on the beginner sewist list is great stocking stuffers. So these could be, and some of these are really inexpensive. So these could be stocking stuffers. These could be a little add-on with a gift that you're already gifting someone that's just getting started with sewing. So I think this is great. I kind of thought about, Ashley, when I was we were putting together this beginner list, and I was kind of reviewing some of the suggestions that we received, is I write a lot of projects for beginner sewists. And I thought, okay, thinking of the supply list that I usually create for my projects, like everything on this beginner sewing list, supply list is like stuff that's in those projects, you know? Yeah. And mm-hmm. so the ultimate thought here was to, if you're a beginner sewist and you have a machine, these are the tools you need to be able to do your first 5 to 10 projects as mm-hmm. you learn to sew. Yeah. And then as you grow your skill set and you start to expand into a specific niche of sewing, maybe you want to add a walking foot, or maybe you want to mm-hmm. add some other kind of things that are geared towards those types of sewing. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, beginner projects, these are kind of the tools that you're going to need. So mm-hmm. that was kind of my thought of, like, if I handed one of my projects to a beginner that I wrote and said, make this, they're going to need these items to do so.
Yeah.
So let's kind of dive in. Do you want to start with the beginner list since we've talked about it?
Sure.
Okay. So do we just want to read through them kind of quickly? And then if there's any we want to harp on, we can. I don't think we need to harp on all of them because
they're pretty self-explanatory. Some of them are
pretty self-explanatory, but mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just read through these. So the first is fabric scissors and thread snips. I grouped them together, but I think you need both.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually you can buy like little gift sets that have both. And mm-hmm. that's probably the best bang for your buck.
They don't have to be the fanciest fabric scissors. You just need a pair of fabric scissors. And they need to be dedicated just to fabric.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't let your kids get a hold of them. Don't go cut wrapping paper with them. No.
Yeah. Put the rules in with the scissors.
Yeah. Maybe include that with their, like.
Now, people don't know, though, that you really need to only cut fabric with these scissors.
You need to label them. Yeah. Like I have a piece of tape that says fabric on mine. Mm. And they hang with my other fabric scissors because I have some that aren't, you know. So anyways, mm-hmm. I label mine, not just for me because I know, but for my family members. Yeah, or when exactly. I take them to sewing club, people know which ones are which. Yeah. All right. Rotary cutter and a self-healing mat. Now I put self-healing mat. Self-healing mats are a little more expensive than just a regular cutting mat, but it's going to last you a heck of a lot longer and mm-hmm. you're going to get a lot more use out of it. And they're not that much more expensive, and you can usually get a bundle set with a rotary cutter. So this is a great combo right here. Mm-hmm. But if you find one and you want to get one that's not self-healing, that's perfectly fine. I have one over here that's not, and it's fine. But a self-healing mat is a game changer.
Yeah.
All right. Clear rulers. You obviously mm-hmm. need a clear ruler if you're using a rotary cutter and mat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I kind of listed a few sizes that I feel like are like the most common that we use to get started. So I put a 1-inch by 6-inch, or it could be like a 1-inch by 8-inch, a 1-inch by 10-inch. Just needs That's to be
the little lit. Ones just to have next to my machine.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I put a 6 by 24. I use that one all the time. So those two rulers I use all the time. And I have multiples of those 1 by 6. Mm-hmm. And then I put a square ruler. I feel like this one isn't a must have. But if you have someone that you know is wanting to get into quilting, I think you should definitely give them a square ruler. Sure. They can always add that later if they need to. Mm-hmm. Pins and clips. I think you need both. I think you need pins. I have my little pins here. But then I think you also need clips as well. A steam iron doesn't have to be fancy, just an iron that can steam. Mm-hmm. A tape measure. Quality thread. Okay, so let's talk about quality thread, because we had several people suggest quality thread, and they specifically said like good thread. You do not, like, if you get one of those like beginner sewing kits.
Oh God, those are the worst.
And the thread that comes in those.
Yeah, they're not even on like a real spool too. It's just like.
They're not actually meant to be. That thread is not actually meant to be used in a sewing machine. You could use that thread for hand sewing.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put it in your machine. It's going to cause issues. It's not very strong. It snaps and breaks. You're going to get super frustrated. And for a beginner, we want to set them up for success. We do not want them. Like, I know it looks like a good deal. Look, I'm getting scissors and a ruler
every
and
color of the rainbow
and every color. But trust me.
No. That's like when we were kids. And remember, you would get like that that pack, and it had like the paint and the markers and the pencil crayons and the crayons. And it would be this whole set of just all these like, 200 pieces. But then it would be like, they're all garbage. And the markers run out in a minute, and it's just like, That's what this is. It's just like all garbage. So just.
Yeah. Just don't use that thread. Yeah. That's a PSA for the day. Like the storage container's cute.
Sure.
You know, nobody uses the thimble that comes in it, really. Let's be honest. Your machine comes with a seam ripper, so you don't need the one that comes with it. I mean, you can get a tape measure for 99 cents. So I feel like it's not. Yeah, it's. I feel like it's just not really worth it. But the storage can be nice if it's a good storage. But there's other storage options. So for me, just avoid those kits. The scissors that come in them are usually garbage too. So
if you're in sewing for the long haul, avoid those.
Yeah, kits
like the plague. Yeah,
yeah, and don't put that thread in your machine. If you don't hear anything I say today, please just hear that. Okay, thank you. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. So moving on, besides quality thread, you're going to need extra needles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so another PSA, because we've talked about this before, but it's been a while. You should change your needle every 6 to 8 hours of sewing. And you should definitely change your needle based on the material you're sewing. So if you're doing embroidery, you have an embroidery needle. If you're doing denim, you have a denim needle. If you're doing leather, you should have a heavy duty needle like denim or leather needle. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people just stick a universal needle in there, the one that came with the machine, and they never change it. Don't be that person. So get more needles, change them out. It'll make your sewing so much better. Mm-hmm. Extra bobbins. So I think this is a must. You know, your machine usually comes with a couple, but you'll find that you'll wind a few bobbins with a few different colors. And then you're like, I don't have any more bobbins. And you have to take all that thread off of a bobbin. And it's so wasteful. So a pack of bobbins is very inexpensive. Get some, have some extras. You'll be glad you have them. A seam ripper, like I said, most people's sewing machines come with one, but they're teeny tiny. Mm-hmm. I do recommend getting like a nice, decent one with a good handle. This will just make it easier to use, and they're not expensive. Good stocking stuffer. Mm-hmm. Fabric marking tools. So we'll list a few different options here. Ashley really loves chalk. I do too. There's a time and a place for it. I really love friction pens. Some people like the, you know, washable markers like these with the blue caps. Yeah, I mean, there's so many. Yeah, there's so many different options. So we'll list those and you can pick what you want to get. Mm-hmm. A point turner. I don't think I have one sitting in here next to this machine. And I have like five of them floating around my sewing room. And we use these all the time. They're great for creasing and getting your seams, you know, when you're turning things nice right side out. Getting your corners nice and square. They're amazing. So I love a point turner and then pinking shears. I actually do have a pair of my pinking shears here. And look, they have my name on them. And pinking shears are those little zigzag shears. And you're going to use those a lot, especially with crafting projects or anything where material can fray.
Yeah.
So that's our beginner list. I feel like that's pretty inclusive.
Mm-hmm. I would be happy to receive all of these. This would get you started for a very long time.
Absolutely. And honestly, most of these things are not very expensive. There's 13 items listed here. And we didn't put sewing machine on here. I know people are going to be like, well, you didn't say sewing machine. Well, this is assuming that someone's already decided that they want to learn to sew and they may have already gotten a sewing machine or they know they're getting one for Christmas or they just got one on a Black Friday sale. Because this is the time of year where a lot of people get sewing machines and we love that. So we're just trying to set you guys up for success. So it's December 12th. You still have time. Mm-hmm. You still have time to get these things. And I think any sewist, and honestly, I'll be honest, I wouldn't be upset with receiving any of those things either.
No.
I have all that stuff.
Advanced sewist, our stuff like degrades over time.
We have to replace items. I can always use more clips. I can always use more needles. I can always use a new seam ripper because how many times do I go looking for this one? And I have multiple. So, I mean, I wouldn't be upset to receive these items.
Yeah.
At all. You know? So just know that like even if you have a more experienced sewist or someone who's been doing it for a few years, if they got any of these things, like a new pair of scissors or scissor snips, they would be grateful. And when I say scissor snips, I mean like little pair.
Yeah, little, just to cut your threads.
Yeah, to get in there next to your machine. This one's got a slight curve to get in there when I'm doing my embroidery. So yeah, it's great. So that's our beginner sewist list.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate our listeners for chiming in on these things because they are the ones that listed quite a few of these things. And yeah. We just kind of filled in the gaps a little bit of some things that we had already kind of thought of. So this is a very comprehensive list.
Yeah, it's not over. We got a lot.
We got more.
Right. All so right. I hope you guys have like a pen and paper. And if you need to write anything down now so that you don't forget.
Yeah.
Do it now.
But you can go to our website. You can get
there now.
This list printed off and go through with a highlighter.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're going to have links on our website on a blog post. So you can go to the links. You could even make your own Amazon wish list.
Yeah.
Now I say we're going to do a lot of Amazon links because we only have 12 days left till Christmas Eve. And so we got to get that shipping turned around pretty quickly. However, I highly recommend that you shop local. So if you have a local quilting shop that you know carries those items, go get it from them.
Mm-hmm.
If you have your favorite fabric store nearby, they may have some of these things, go get it from them. And do that. But if not, then we're going to give you links because, you know, a lot of people like to wait till the last minute. So
yeah.
We're thinking of everybody here, okay? So don't come for us when you see a lot of Amazon links. It's just to get you started in your search. And then you can take it local. Okay. Ooh. So let's talk about Ashley and Bethany's top picks. Do you want to do this one next? Or should we go into, like, something else? Or should we save that one for last? Maybe we save
that last, yeah.
Okay. Okay, we're going to make you guys wait a little longer for our top picks.
Let's do a wish list, which is like things that are probably, you know, you've been really good all year. And you got something real, real good, okay?
Yeah, these are items that our listeners specifically said to us that they mm-hmm. would love to have. It's a dream item.
Yeah.
They will save up for a long time to get it if they have to. You know, this is something that they would do anything to have in their sewing room. Now, some of these are specific to specific types of sewing, so we'll go through that. But for the most part, I agree with all of these.
Mm, I would love everything on this list.
Some of these things are on my wish list, so yeah. I will agree. Okay, so the first thing, and one of the most common things that we got mentioned, was projector.
Mm-hmm.
A projector for sewing.
I would have put that on the beginner if I know that they are garment sewists. But projector, for sure, is like, I feel like everyone needs to have one, so...
See, I wouldn't put it on the beginners because there's a big learning curve and they're already learning how to sew and use a machine and understand instructions and read a pattern. And I think part of the process of being a beginner is learning the paper patterns.
Yeah, I just wish I knew about it earlier.
Sooner. I don't think it's a beginner, but I think after a year or two, it's something that you could definitely consider because you're going to start to feel the pain of paper patterns.
And
that's specifically for garments.
Maybe you need to put in your time, though, with the paper patterns to appreciate the projector.
I think so.
Like a rite of passage.
And I love that this is a wish list item, and I feel like this can be a fairly inexpensive item to add to your sewing room, believe it or not. There is a learning curve. I think it's very intimidating to a lot of people. So I think that's why a lot of people are still hesitant about it. There's different options out there. There's so many options. Mm-hmm. And part of the process is figuring out what will work for your space. And we've done a whole podcast episode on projectors. We've talked about them so many times. So take some time to do some research. If we need to talk about projectors again and have another podcast about it in the new year, we absolutely can. Because it's definitely becoming a more popular thing in the sewing community, and it's just going to grow. So there's several options out there for projectors. The next thing is a nice sewing chair. I feel like I have been on the hunt for the perfect sewing chair for forever.
Yeah.
And several people mentioned the koala chairs and the arrow chairs specifically. And the reason I mention these brands is because they are very nice chairs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also extremely expensive. So you're going to see
chairs.
They're dream chairs, But I just, for me, I cannot justify spending more on a chair than I would a sewing machine.
Yeah.
So that's hard for me. And it's why I sit on very uncomfortable, unsupportive chairs from Home Goods that I got for like $50 or less. I am on the hunt for a really good chair. I'm looking for several. I feel like I keep looking at them and I can't pull the trigger.
It's so hard. That's why this is something that, like, if you can get a family member to buy these things, and then it's guilt-free, right?
If you have a family member with that kind of budget, don't hesitate to ask for it. Yep. I don't. So this is on me to get, and yeah.
Yeah.
Dreambox. No. If you know what a Dreambox is, it is basically a huge cabinet that opens up. So when it's closed, it like looks really nice, like a nice piece of furniture. And when you open it up, it's like a crafter's dream organization box. And it has a table that folds down, and people use it for cricketing. People use it for all sorts of crafting. They set up their sewing machines on them. And Dreambox, the brand, also has separate tables specifically for sewing that have like the lift and everything for machines and extra. Mm-hmm. So you can build out an entire sewing room with Dreambox furniture, but it costs an arm and a leg, and they're huge. Yes. Yeah, and for me in my tiny house, it wouldn't make sense. But for some people, if they have like a bonus room or like a bigger space and they have a whole wall that they could dedicate to that being open, by all means. But it's meant to be used for people who like maybe sew in their dining room that they don't use very often. So this sits kind of in the corner, and then they can open it, craft, and then close it for when company comes over. That's kind of the concept. But a lot of people get them for their sewing or craft room, and they leave them open all the time because you can decorate these things and it can be a beautiful like display of color and organization, which is always fun for me. So I think a Dreambox is really cool. I've definitely looked at them in the past, but
I've looked.
I mean, it stopped there.
The realm of possibilities for me, though.
I've watched the videos. I've gone as far as to watch the videos of when people get their Dreambox delivered on a freaking semi truck that's in a crate on a pallet. Wow. Okay, it looks like you know the movie A Christmas Story where he gets the leg lamp delivered in that giant crate? That's what this Dreambox gets delivered in. Okay. I'm not joking. It's freaking huge. You can go see pictures of people sitting on top of their crates when they get delivered in their driveway. And then you have to put the whole thing together. So
yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. Doesn't come all assembled.
No. But they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And it has lighting built into it too.
We could talk about it all day. You can buy all the storage containers that fit perfectly in all the cubbies. It's very adjustable for what you want. I mean, I'm telling you, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
One day, dream box. It's a dream wish list. Okay.
Yeah.
Good lighting. We had several people say you need good lighting, and I think we can vouch for that. If you have a small sewing space and you just need a good desk lamp that like can come up and over around your machine or over your cutting area, if you have a smaller sewing space, like but there's some really good sewing lights out there. But
even like maybe just like
some track lighting,
your husband could have, you know, pot lights installed in your room or something like that would be an ultimate gift, especially because most rooms have one light in the center. Maybe
the boob light.
Yeah, boob light. Yeah, exactly.
But you call them pot lights. We call them can lights.
Can?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pot lights.
Well, mine. So they're called can lights because they look like a can.
Now they're not. They're this thin now.
Yeah, now mine are thin and they're flat and they're LED, so they don't get hot.
Yeah.
So my sewing room when I moved into this house is a one-car converted garage, and it had no lighting in there. It had one boob light over by the front, by the door that went out the back. That was it. And it was like dim because it was a garage. So it didn't have proper lighting. Uh-huh. And so I had lamps, like none of my lamps matched. They were all different colors. They were, like, the lighting was different shades of lighting, mm-hmm. and I had them lined around the room, and I'd have to go through and turn on like 6 lamps just to dimly light my room. It was awful, but that's how I lived in that sewing and craft space for...
It's bad for your eyes.
A while. And then I met Brett, and Brett's very handy. And then Brett moved here, and Brett so kindly took on the hat of electrician and offered, by the way, because I was like, gosh, the lighting here is so bad. And he's like, well, I mean, why don't you just put in some can lights? And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, I know how to do that. And I can't afford an electrician to come and do that. And this house is 50 years old. Like, it's, the wiring's weird. And he's like, I can do it. And I was like, be careful what you ask for.
But so he had it above. So it's actually really easy to do it in your space.
My space wasn't so bad because my attic access is there. Yeah. And so it's my attic. The problem is he installed 9 in my small room. And the problem is we have the little boxes up in the floor in the attic, and all the wire is stapled down. So when we put stuff in the attic now, we actually kind of have to be careful.
Okay.
Where we throw stuff, because, you know, there's all the electrical boxes and all the wiring, but they are on a dimmer switch, so I can dim them down for when I'm projecting. So yes, they are fantastic and have been an absolute game changer in my space.
Mm-hmm.
And the LED ones are really not bad. Really not bad.
No.
So, and they're inexpensive. We got a huge pack of them.
I actually installed these myself.
You have a drop ceiling.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. In your basement. So yes, I highly recommend investing in some good lighting. Cover stitch machine. We had quite a few people say this. I feel like a cover stitch machine is the last machine people usually add.
It's the one where people are like, oh, I really don't need another machine. And then yes, you do. Just ask for it.
Usually people get a sewing machine, then they get a serger. And then they're like, oh, I would love to do those like nice professional hems.
Oh, that is so nice.
And then they get the cover stitch. But if you're on the fence of getting either a new serger or getting and adding a cover stitch, there are some sergers that are 5-thread. And if it's a 5-thread serger, it usually can do a cover stitch.
Yeah.
So you can usually get a 2-for-1. And people don't realize that. So a 4-thread serger is just a serger. A 5-thread serger will typically do a cover stitch as well. So look at that.
Yeah,
because the cost of a cover stitch can be the same as a 5-thread serger.
Especially if you want to replace your serger one day.
Yeah.
So then it's like, well, if you break it down, it might just be better just to get the...
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't they usually come air thread?
Not always. The one that I'm thinking of, like Singer has one. It's the only 5-thread serger that they have. It's called the Professional 5. And then a bunch of letters and numbers I can never remember. But it's the Professional 5 and it's our 5-thread. And it does serging and a cover stitch, but it's not air thread. Mm-hmm. But it's very easy diagram.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to use. And I like it. We do have an air thread serger, but it's only 4-thread.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't have the cover stitch feature, but again, then leading into our next list on the item on the list is an air thread serger. So if you've had a regular serger for a while and you want to upgrade, a lot of people will upgrade to an air thread, and there's ones that have the pump. There's ones that have the pump button that are more computerized air thread. Like I have, I'm telling you right now, my air thread serger, I will be buried with. It is my favorite thing. I'm giving away one of the things on the favorite list already. It is my favorite thing in my sewing room.
I don't have one yet.
Hands down.
I need to get one.
Best thing I ever bought. Okay. The next thing is industrial machine. This is a wish list item.
Yep. Not for
everybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is getting into some more specific sewing like bag making and heavy duty sewing. Mm-hmm. I got one for the first time this year and I freaking love it. Ashley has one as well.
Yeah, well, if you're on the fence, just do it.
Facebook Marketplace is the place to look for these.
Yeah.
Hands down. Yeah. I got mine for $500.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook and I've been looking for a year. And when it pops up, you got to jump on it.
Mm-hmm.
Long arm quilting machine and frame. Oh, my gosh.
That's a dream.
So That is an ultimate dream. Someone, my friend Jennifer is the one that suggested this. And she said, if only I had the space for one.
That's the other thing.
That's the other part of it. I was like, I would have to remove a couch out of my living room to put one in my house. Like,
yeah, you need to put an addition on.
I would. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only way. But they're huge and they're wonderful. And if I was a full-time quilter, it would be amazing to have. And I can understand why a quilter would love to have these. Mm-hmm. However, there are smaller frames, like tabletop frames, and that they can be used with a regular sewing machine. So there are cheaper options to kind of get into that without investing in a full-on one to see if you really would use it that often and to get comfortable with using one. And so there are other options. We'll list a few options here in regards to that. The next one on the list is an Alizo iron, and I will sing its praises forever.
Not only that, but their customer service and their warranty is very good. Yes.
Top notch. So worth the investment. Their warranty is 3 years. Their customer service is fantastic. They have the big irons that go up and down. You've seen us talk about them. We had Michelle from Alizo on our podcast earlier this year. They sponsored our sewing retreat that we did this summer. They are fantastic people to work with. They also have the new mini iron, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And they have
just do a collab with, was it Tula Pink?
Yes. That one's coming out in the new year.
Oh, I want that one. Like, can I just have like all the irons? Not that I only used one at a time, but.
I'm over here collecting vintage sewing machines to put on a shelf. And Ashley's going to be collecting all the different colors of Alizo irons to put on a shelf.
Yes, I would for sure.
Be back. I mean, they're so pretty. Alizo shelf.
Well, send me the newest one, please. Thank you. The thing is that when we did, when she was so kind to send us irons, I did not have access to Mimi G's one in Canada. Iron, so I don't know if I would have access to Tula Pink one.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I know that Alizo is coming out with their products are now becoming more available in Canada. I've noticed that the pressing mats are now available.
Yes.
The iron caddy. And the ironing board covers. So I saw all those on Amazon because they were not a year ago.
Yep.
If you're curious.
A lot of people are expanding in that route. And speaking of their ironing board covers, I got one. And let me tell you, that is the nicest ironing board cover I have ever had in my entire life. It is so thick.
I need a new one. Yeah.
It is so good. If they could come out with a mini one that would fit on my mini ironing cart, I would be in heaven. Heaven. I love it. Embroidery machine.
That would be my big time. Yep.
Yeah.
It would never happen.
A wide range. I have one sitting next to me right now, the new Singer one, and I've been using it a lot for work because it just came out this fall. It's the SE9180, and I did some embroidery ornaments this week or a couple weeks ago on it, but it's under $1,000. It's a great beginner. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's around that for Canada too. It's not far off from that.
It's the dollar is so bad right now. It's so bad. So.
But then you can go the opposite end of that spectrum of embroidery machines and get like a $25,000 embroidery machine. And that's the other end of the spectrum. And nobody there's so many options in between.
There is.
But I think when we say embroidery machine, it can encompass anything in that however much you want to do with it. They are wonderful to have. So we put this one on here, fabric steamer. Probably wouldn't have thought that would be on a wish list item, but it is something that people don't always think about having. But then once you get one, it's like, I don't like to iron my clothes.
No.
Before I wear them. I just use my handheld steamer.
Yeah. Me too.
It's so amazing. So I wouldn't say that this is something I necessarily use in my sewing space as much, but I definitely use it on the garment after I've sewn them, or like when I did that whole satin ball gown, I only used a steamer on it.
Yeah.
Electric scissors. They're my
favorite. That's something I need.
Favorite.
I don't have that yet. Yeah, you have one. Diana has a set, and I'm just like, ugh.
And they're pink. They also come in like a blue or teal color, I think, but They're pink. They're cordless. They have a little battery pack that you like recharge, but it lasts forever. I think I've only had to charge it twice in the couple years I've had them. And they make it so easy to cut through like flannel, fleece, thick material, corduroy, denim. Or if you're like, I cut that satin material for that big skirt on the floor, and it makes it so much easier to cut a straight line on the floor.
Yeah.
So much easier. Then you suggested this for the list, and I'm not really familiar with these, but I think for bag makers in general, this is a huge thing, or even garment sewists too. Rivet press, grommet press, and cam snap press.
I love my I use the cam snaps. Those are those plastic snaps. You'll find them on like baby clothes, baby diapers and stuff like that. I use those all the time in my garment making.
Okay. So I use those for my dog bandanas, but I have a handheld clamp. So, I don't have like the big press.
I know they have that, but just because you want to, if you want to save your hands, if you're doing industrial like size loads of bandanas like you were, it probably would have made more sense.
Yeah, I probably should have invested in one. I just didn't really know it was a thing.
Yeah. But so, I really would love a rivet press and grommet press. Those are quite expensive. And you also need to buy the little adapters for all the different sizes too. So it's an investment, which is why it's on the wish list.
Exactly. And then the other thing on the wish list is a magnetic cutting mat. So this is a cutting mat that it has like a magnetic sheet either underneath it or kind of in between the layers of the mat. And then you use magnets to hold as like pattern weights to hold your fabric down, to hold your pattern down. So you don't use just regular pattern weights. You use magnets and it like nothing moves at all. And so I don't have one. Diana has one. She loves hers.
Yeah.
I've seen quite a few people say that they love theirs. And there's ways to make your own.
Yeah. You can just get sheet metal and some magnets.
Magnets and put it under your cutting mat. But if you, magnets. I don't know if that would work on my cutting mat, because my cutting mat is thick. Like she is thick. She's double-sided, reversible, self-healing thick.
You would need some really strong magnets. I don't think you could use your fridge ones. That's for sure.
No, no. So I think for me, I don't have an interest in getting one, but it works for a lot of people. I just already invested in a really good mat.
I wonder though, like, I think there's also people that will buy those metal tables from like the Costco Business Center.
Yes.
Instead of getting the mat, you just buy the metal table, you put your cutting mat on it, and then the whole thing's magnetic. You just use your magnets on it.
Yeah, that didn't Jessica really with too. So Let's Go Hobby do that?
I think so.
I think she did.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're looking for a good table, it's a good, sturdy, quality table. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an idea.
So that's the Santa wish list items, and we are all probably drooling over all of those items we just said right now. We talked more about these wish list items than anything else. Okay, so let's talk about, we've got tools, we've got beginner tools, we've got like wish list items, but let's talk about our sewing space. Because the more stuff you add, and it adds up very quickly,
put it somewhere.
More organization you're going to need. So I thought it was important that we include a list of things that you could probably implement and utilize in your sewing space to get organized, to start out the new year with everything has its place. There's not fabric all over the floors, everything. You know what you have. You know what you need at a quick glance. Everything's accessible. That's the goal in a sewing space. And you need to get there as you grow. One to talk. So
yeah, me too.
Let's start with my favorite thing in my sewing room that's on this list. And I didn't put in my favorite list. This is strictly, I put it on the organization, and that is my fabric organization. So if you've ever seen my sewing room, I have those cube shelving units. I have two 8x2s stacked on top of each other. They're like screwed together. So it's like a 4x8. So it's like a ton It's 32 cubes. So wow. That is under my TV up against a wall. It is the bottom two rows have cubbies for small things and office supplies and those kind of things. And then, the top two rows are fabric, and it's a great way for me to nicely fold my fabric and display it on the shelf. So I can always see what I have. And then I started to expand and I built, got more, and I did it up the other side next to my stairs, floor to ceiling. And I mean, this is one of those things where like you can start with one and then you can add another, and they come in so many different like sizes. Like I have some that are like 4x2 and you can stand them up or you can lay them flat. Like, and they're stackable.
Yeah.
And they're white. And, you know, they're easy. Now, they have different colors, too, but I like the white because then I can just see all, it keeps it nice and bright in my room. But I can see all my fabric, and I love it. And it just adds color to my space, and it looks so organized. And highly recommend them. You can get them from IKEA. You can get them from Walmart. You can get them from Amazon. I've seen them at Michael's.
Yeah.
But wherever you get them from, you need to continue to get them from the same place as you add more. So please remember that, because
as you mentioned,
they're not all created equal. Mm-hmm. Ask me how I know. So I think mine are from Amazon because I don't have an IKEA near me.
Mm-hmm.
And Walmart was sold out of the ones that I needed, but they were the same, but they have the same ones at like Walmart, the same brand at Walmart and Amazon. Mm-hmm. Anyways, worth it. Start with one, add to it. That's what I've done. I think I'm up to like 5 or 6 of these units at this point, and they're all stacked and it's amazing. I know you have a couple of them too.
I have the Kallax from IKEA.
That's what they call it.
I use the one, and then I kind of put some 2x4s on it to create my cutting table.
Mm-hmm.
It's taller. And then I just use it with the fabric bins for fabric storage. And I have a few spare sewing machines that will fit in those cubbies too. So they're nice and large. I think they're like 14 inches by 14 inches.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like them. I have them all over. And I also have the other one, which is a 3x4. And then you can get these inserts that have 2 drawers, or you can get the divider. Like it's just it's very versatile. I love it.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I love that you said that you use them to build your cutting table. So that leads us to the sewing room organization of a tall cutting table and or island, depending on what your space will work with, and utilizing storage underneath. So you use those cubbies to create storage underneath your cutting table that's kind of up in the corner, up against a wall, okay, in your space. That's what works for your space. In my space, I have an island. And I used their cabinets, like storage cabinets from Michael's. Mm-hmm. And then they had the storage like cubby that was like long and wide, but not quite as tall, like not the same cube size that aligns and is the same size as those cabinets. So I have like 4 or 5, 4 or 6 drawers and then a cubby, an open cubby. And I screwed them, the cubby, to the top of the cabinet. And I did that twice, one for each side of my island. And I put those on casters because it's an island and I need to be able to move it.
Yeah. And it raised it up even more too, which is
It raised it up a little more. And then I got a piece of that melanine from the Home Depot. And Brett put that stripping around it that you iron on. That's
exactly what I did too.
And that's how we made the table that I have in my, it's the same stuff that we have on the table in my filming studio as well. Mm-hmm. And, cause it's inexpensive and it's really sturdy, and durable. And so we put that as the top on top of those 2 cabinet cubby situations that I built. And that's my island. Like it's self-made. So a lot of people get creative. They'll use IKEA drawer. Like, I've seen people use, dressers from IKEA, or they'll repurpose dressers from like Goodwill or something and make that the base of an island and then put a top on it. And then they have storage underneath. So get creative. If you have a cutting table, there's unused space underneath. That's storage. That should be storage. Yeah. Absolutely.
I also love the Alex drawers from IKEA too.
Yeah. I wish I miss living close to an IKEA. When I lived in Orlando, it was very close and I went all the time, but we don't have one in Nashville. They've talked about bringing one here for years and then they get our hopes up, have a location, and then it doesn't happen.
Like for such a large city, you'd think.
I know. There's one in Memphis.
Toronto has several, like probably like 5 IKEAs.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yeah, the closest one is Memphis, and that's like 4 hours away. And then the second closest is Atlanta, and that's like 5 hours away. So it's like,
yeah, no,
I don't know. Pegboard. This is a more inexpensive thing that you can DIY. I love my pegboard.
Yeah. IKEA has a really nice one too.
Oh my gosh. Are we promoting IKEA? Sponsor us. I'm just saying.
It's very aesthetic. But I have just a standard pegboard. Like you can buy them for like, yeah, so cheap at the hardware store. And yeah, then you can even go to the dollar store and have the different, like, you know,
clips and stuff. Yeah. And you can paint the pegboard as well. So it doesn't have to be brown. I kind of wish I had painted mine. So mine was made by accident and it was my dad's idea. So when I was moving into this house, someone had like gifted me some furniture and one of the things was like this really old antique mirror. And I thought, well, maybe I'll put it up somewhere, but it was freaking huge and so heavy. So heavy. That glass was like bulletproof glass. It really wasn't, but it was so freaking thick. But the frame was like this ornate gold and it's really pretty. Well, I dropped it. I dropped it and
the
glass shattered and I was so upset. But then I was like, I really didn't need this mirror. Like I really didn't have a place for it. And it was so heavy. I didn't know if I was going to even be able to put this on a wall. Right. And so I was like, oh, I hate this. And I said, my dad was there and he's like, it's okay. And so we cleaned it up and he said, do you want me to throw this whole thing out? I was like, I really like the frame. And I said, maybe I can use the frame for something. He goes, well, why don't you get a piece of pegboard material from Home Depot or Lowe's and put that where the mirror was. And then it can be framed and you can use it in your sewing or your craft room to hang stuff on and as organization. And I was just like, did my dad just suggest that?
Nice.
But I was so impressed by this. And I was like, Dad, I love it. You know, he can be creative and pretty crafty. And so I was like, okay. So we went and got the piece. We cut it down and we put it into the frame. And it has been hanging in it was like the first thing we put in my craft room. And I got like the little baskets that hang and all the hooks. So it's evolved over the years, but it's where all my scissors hang. It's where all my rotary cutters hang, all my tools, like all of my go-to things. And then I'm never losing my fabric scissors or my rotary cutter because they go right back on the peg. So,
and you can use that for your thread storage. I know that we have thread storage on the list, but you can get the straight pegs and you can just put your thread storage on that. But
people do that with like the bigger spools of like serger thread or industrial thread, which I think is fabulous. And it's a great way to add color to your space and dress it up.
Yeah.
So thread storage was on here. I think I kind of skipped that one on accident, but again, a peg, like I have ones behind my sewing machine in my sewing room that mount to the wall and they fit perfectly under my window and the counter.
The standard wood ones, I think that I got at like Joann's or something.
The stand up.
Yeah. But then you could just stick them on the wall too.
Yeah. I have one right here in the corner. I have all of my embroidery thread on it because I'm doing so much embroidery now that we were cleaning out the office and this was just going to get tossed because we're moving offices. And I was like, can I have that? And they're like, I could use that in my studio because I have a whole bin of thread, but the ones I use all the time, I'm like, it would be great to just grab. So anyways, I have one of those too. Open shelves. I have so much shelving. The reason I say this is use wall space. This is kind of what we're getting at is like our fabric storage, our thread storage, our pegboard, our open shelves. It's utilizing your wall space. That is prime real estate. Mm-hmm. So don't hesitate to go up, but do it in a very nice way so that it like is organized. It looks clean and everything has a place. You know where stuff is. It doesn't make your room look messy or over full. It just creates a space to like have everything that you need in a in an organized way. That's the whole thought. An ironing station. So obviously we love our Alizo ironing board covers. And I have my big ironing board, but if you didn't see earlier this year, I made a mini ironing station on wheels using one of those like tiered metal carts and then like a mini ironing board from IKEA. And I like bolted it to the cart. And so now my little mini ironing cart has like shelves underneath that I can keep like my works in progress or my tools, my best Mary Ellen's best press that I love. Like all these kind of things are on the cart. So all of my ironing stuff's on the cart. And then my iron is right there. And I use that more than I'd use my big ironing board. It takes up less
for sure.
And I can wheel it over to where I'm sitting. If I'm doing a lot of like small piecing or quilting, a lot of little, stuff like that. And I need to iron more frequently. I could save so much time if I just stay at my machine and I sew. Yeah. And then I turn my chair and there's my little ironing station to press. And then I come back and it's so nice.
Yeah, exactly.
So nice. It's a wheel. So when I'm not using it, I can just wheel it right out of the way. Mm-hmm. And it's great. So of course there's times when I use my big ironing board. So don't get me wrong.
So you can always ask for that little rolly cart.
And you can use any rolly cart. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I made a reel about it earlier this year. Alizo shared it too. Yeah. It is fantastic. And I got all the pieces from IKEA, but I had other people who couldn't order them from IKEA based on where they were located. So they were able to get pieces from like Michael's or Walmart, Amazon, and then piece it together themselves and make the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's so nice. I got
my card at Canadian Tire. So they're literally everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. They are. Three drawer storage containers for under counters or desk. I got these, I think, off Walmart, but they're plastic. They're three drawers tall, but they're pretty wide. And they fit perfectly under your counter height. So they can slide right under the counter and you can have those drawers to, again, have more storage. It's where I keep a lot of supplies. When I was doing my bandana business, I had a whole drawer dedicated to just my shipping supplies. So every time I'd have to ship an order, I'd open that drawer, get my supplies out and ship my order and then put it all right back. So I have three of them.
I have four of them.
I love them.
I have the like super wide and then like just the regular wide one.
I have three super wides.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic. And you can, so my counters are kind of deep, so I can put mine in going straight. So the drawers pull straight out.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But you can also turn them so that they slide in and then you pull the whole unit out and open the drawer. So then you can line up more. Where there's a will, there's a way for storage. Here's an inexpensive thing that I feel like a lot of people will benefit from if you don't already have one. It's a bobbin caddy, so a little box that holds all of your bobbins. I have several of these, and I need more because they're already filling up. And there's even some that are like two-sided. So the top side, you fill that up, you close it, you flip it over, you open it, and there's all more. So these are inexpensive, great stocking stuffer,
good for traveling too. So if you're
oh yes, because I'm sitting here with like six bobbins just floating on the table. Surge protector power strips for everything. So or if you're power sitting bars,
whatever you want to call them,
power towers, power strips, power bars, power whatever. Surge protector is the ultimate word here.
They're expensive, so it's like if I can get some of those gift to me, like I will use those.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Like yes, and
I have some surge protector power towers that I bought that I take to our sewing club meetup.
Amazing. And they have the USB plug in too.
They have USB, the C.
Yeah, USB-C.
And then all the outlets, and it goes all the way around. So if we put it, like if I put it on the table, everybody can kind of plug into. We have several. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're fantastic. But if you're setting up a sewing room, these machines pull power. Your iron pulls a lot more power than you probably realize. Yeah. If you're adding lighting or can lights, like and a projector and like computers and like all these other
things. Just don't overload it. Yeah.
Just don't. So I have power strips, surge protectors in all of my outlets and everything gets plugged into. I don't care if it's a hot glue gun. It gets plugged into a power strip surge protector. Mm-hmm. So highly recommend that you just set yourself up because you want to protect your investment. The other thing that I have is a retractable ceiling power cord. So this goes along with the fact that I have my attic space above me. But if you can pull this off, Ashley, you could pull this off because you have a drop ceiling. It is a retractable extension cord that is on a wheel that retracts. So you can see these, like people use them outside for lawn stuff, whatever. And then because they wind right back up.
Mm-hmm.
But mine is mounted in my attic space, and Brett drilled a hole in my ceiling and put a little cap, and it comes through, it hangs down. It only hangs out down from my ceiling this far, so you don't ever notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and then you just pull it down from the ceiling. It's got three plugs at the end of it, and I can plug stuff in when I'm working on my island. So it's kind of located in the middle of my room, and I can pull it down, and it's to the side of my island, so it's not right over it. And that way I don't have cords going across my floor that I'm going to trip on or fall on or any of that.
It's a good idea.
It moves my floor clean. And it, when I'm done using it, I can unplug and retract it back up to the ceiling, out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of my favorite things that we've added to my room.
See,
I have so many favorites.
It's those little things that just make your life just
easier.
Better. Yes.
Yeah.
That, like, we don't think about asking as a gift, but it's like you will appreciate it tenfold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pattern organization. So, again, if you're using paper patterns for anything, quilting, paper piecing, garment sewing, crafting, bag making, there's paper patterns. There's so many different ways to organize your paper patterns. There's people who put them in manila envelopes
That's
and store them in like a bin. There's people who put them in filing cabinets that way. I put mine in these big bags, and I label the bags, and the bags go on coat hangers and hang on a bar in my laundry room. And then I can flip through them really easily to find them. But I mean, that everybody has their own method, but organize your patterns. You'll be grateful. Fabric scrap bin. This is just a bin that you can get for like $10 or less, from Big Lots or any Walmart, any store, and just have a dedicated bin for fabric scraps, especially if you're getting started with sewing. You don't realize how quickly like extra scrap fabric will add up, and you may not want to get rid of it right away because it could be test fabric. It could be something you use for a little quick, you know, quilty thing or another craft project. So, but we were talking yesterday, Ashley, about the scrap bin needs to have rules.
Yep. Wouldn't it be cute though? Okay, wait. Wouldn't it be cute if you had a friend who needed a scrap bin and you bought a nice bin and then did like Cricut vinyl, like the rules on the bin?
That would be adorable. This is your scrap bin.
Yes.
And a place to hold all your favorite fabrics, leftovers or something like that. And then like, but when I'm full, it's time to take it out.
Yeah.
And either sew with it, donate it, or, you know, if it's too small a pieces, toss it. But, then, you know, like we tend to hold on to like the tiniest little pieces. And it's like,
Yeah. But if you said like, okay, this is the size that like nothing smaller than this, you measure it out. If it doesn't make the cut, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gotta go. But I'm saying give yourself a scrap bin because otherwise you're going to end up with a scrap pile and then things get messy and we're trying to keep our space clean and organized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's our sewing room organization tools. Some of these might be things you want to put on your Christmas wish list. Maybe you already have these things. Maybe we inspired you to think of your space a little differently and get some new organization before the new year. This is my favorite time to kind of purge and set myself up for success in the new year. So,
yeah.
All right. Last but not least, Ashley and Bethany's top picks.
Mm-hmm. What do we always use that like we love?
And I can say that some of these things on this list I use that Ashley doesn't and Ashley uses and I don't. So this is a very mixed list.
Bethany's like back in the 1900s still. So,
well, let's start with your first thing on the list. Yeah. So this is yours.
Mm-hmm. The bodkin or threading tools or loop turners. And what Bethany has been sewing for how long, and she just uses a safety pin.
Yep. 30 something years of sewing, and I've never owned any of these tools other than a safety pin.
If it works for you, that's great, but
I'm just saying, I if it ain't broke. But I mean, I think they're cool. I've just never, and if I got these as a gift or in my stocking, I wouldn't be upset about it. Mm-hmm. And I would take the time to learn to use them. But I mean, my safety pin's just, I've gotten so used to it. I have a favorite safety pin and it has its own spot in my sewing room.
Really?
It's huge. And so it just makes it really easy to feed through.
I'll tell you right now though, there is, the safety pins today are garbage. So if you ever find a pack of safety pins from the thrift store that are vintage, like they're strong, they do not bend. Like the ones now are just
they're metal. They're not like aluminum.
It's ridiculous. I have a bag of vintage pins and they're just, it's just not the same. Not the same.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. So, and then I did a whole video earlier this year that kind of went, it kind of blew some people's minds of how to do a loop turn without using any tools or a safety pin and just using the serger tail from your serger and to make skinny straps and that kind of stuff or drawstrings.
Yeah.
And it's super easy. And so again,
I'll be using that.
I find a workaround. All right. So the next thing on the list is one of my favorite things. It's Mary Ellen's Best Press. If you're a quilter, you probably know about this stuff. It's basically a liquid starch, but it's very light. It smells amazing. They have several scents and they even have an unscented if you don't like scented things. But the fresh linen is my favorite. And I'll tell you right now, I use it for more than just sewing. I use it on all my fabric when I'm pressing it and have to get any stubborn wrinkles out. If I'm quilting, I absolutely use it. If I'm making a jelly roll rug, I use a lot of it because it helps it stay flat as you're sewing it up. But I use it when also with my laundry, because sometimes you put the clothes in the dryer and they dry and then like you forget they're in the dryer and then they get all wrinkled. And I don't mind ironing while I'm sewing, but I do not like ironing clothes, like my clothes. And so I will take that Mary Ellen's Best Press and spray it in my dryer all over those clothes and then turn it back on for a few minutes and all my wrinkles are gone. And then I get it out. So it's amazing. It's amazing. Now, this next thing is something that Ashley uses more than I do, but I do own them.
Yeah, a pressing ham or my tailor's clapper. Love that all the time.
Use it. I have them. I just don't reach for them that often.
Yeah.
The next thing
is a block of wood that you put on things. If you don't want to apply too much heat to your fabric, you put that block on after you take the iron off and it just kind of insulates it and then continues pressing it without scorching your fabric. So if you have delicate fabric, so
quilters use that a lot too. And then they'll use it with like a wool mat. So that's a nice firm thing. The next thing is something that Ashley's added a lot to her collection lately.
What are you talking about? I only have three now when I had like none a couple months ago.
We're talking about dress forms.
Yes.
She has added to her collection.
You can get a children's dress form, the women's, you can get the smaller and the larger. There's a men's. If there's a dog one, I'm going to get that one too.
She's got like the whole family of dress forms over there. So if you go to her house and you see like a body in the corner without a head, it's just her dress form.
It gets creepy around here. I'll tell you that. Like there's been a few times where I've just been like, no one's behind me.
I have two. I have one in my studio and one in my sewing room. And the one in my sewing room has an actual garment on it.
Yeah.
And so it will like catch you off guard sometimes. But you know what I just thought of? And I don't know why this popped in my head. This is so random. You know those little families on the back of someone's car window?
Yeah.
Imagine if you did that with dress forms.
That, you had a I would do that. Form. That's adorable. Aww.
That would be so cute. Like, I don't like those, but I feel like if anybody was to do that, it would be you. I just think that would be actually really cute.
That That would be
all these like headless dress forms for like dad, mom, and children. That would be hilarious.
And dog.
Oh my gosh. I think you and I can both agree on the next thing on our favorite top picks is projector.
Mm-hmm.
So
I will be buried with my projector. I won't be.
I do love my projector, but I will not be buried with it. I do love my projector. I have a short throw projector because my ceilings are really short in my sewing room. But then I also have a Ditto because I work for Singer. And so I do have the Ditto and I love it as well. And it's in my studio because my ceilings are taller in this part of the house. So I can use it in here. Mm-hmm. And then you have an Acrojoy.
Yeah, that one.
Because you don't need a short throw. It's just kind of like a regular projector.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like $80 American. So there's
many different options and it kind of depends on your space. I had to go short throw because of my unique space, which does make it more expensive. But you know, it's totally up to you. There's so many options, but a projector is literally a game changer in your sewing experience, especially with garment sewing.
But not only that, but people are starting to, like come around to the projector. So even like bag makers are
making
their patterns in projector form. So, I mean,
even quilters though.
Yeah.
Or if you're doing like applique and you need to trace like designs, it's so much faster to cut out your applique by projecting it down instead of printing it out on paper, cutting it out, tracing, you know what I mean? Like doing all of that. So there's so many options. So projector. Now the next one I already mentioned, it's my Air Thread Serger and Cover Stitch. I get questions about this every time I show it on my Instagram. What serger is that? And I'm like, first of all, it's amazing. And this is what I'll be buried with. It's the Husqvarna Viking Amber Air S600. It's an Air Thread Serger and Cover Stitch. So it's a 5-thread. It converts, and because it's Air Thread, it's so easy. It's computerized. Mm-hmm. The thing that I love the most about it, though, because there's other brands that have a similar machine. Like Pfaff has a similar machine. Bernina has a similar machine. Like there's other machines or brands out there that have Air Thread computerized 5-thread sergers and cover stitch machines. Mm-hmm. What I love about this one, though, is it has the Joy of OS Advisor, the Joy of Sewing Advisor. It's exclusive to Husqvarna Viking, and I basically tell it what type of material I'm sewing on that machine, and it automatically adjusts my tension, my differential feed, my presser foot pressure. It does all the work for me.
Wow.
Based on the stitch I've selected and the fabric I have chosen. So I can choose light, medium, or heavy woven, light, medium, or heavy knit.
Wow.
And it is flawless.
That's amazing.
It also comes with an extension table, which of these don't do that. So it comes with an extension table that I can add on. When I take the extension table off and the other part off, it has a whole free arm to serge on as well. But the extension table has holes in it and I can put a pin, like I can lay my fabric square. This is how I've made those makeup wipes. I can lay the fabric square that I've cut down and find the center and put the pin through the fabric into the hole on the extension table and then pivot around the pin and sew and serge a rolled hem or any stitch all the way around that square, and it trims it off and makes it a perfect circle.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so many things I can do on this machine. And there's 27 built-in stitches, and it literally walks you through which threads to use and everything on every single one and what the purpose of that stitch is, how to use it, when to use it. It takes the guesswork out of sergers. Mm-hmm. So for me, I have been spoiled by this machine. So when I have to sit in front of a machine that is the bare bones of a serger, I'm like, okay, because I've gotten so used to that one. But it just makes my sewing experience a lot more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it a lot. I use it more than any other machine that I have.
Love sergers. They're so fun.
I do too. All right. And then that follows up with computerized sewing machine. I just said computerized sewing machine because Ashley and I both have computerized machines. Mm-hmm. I do have some mechanical ones for work, but at the end of the day, if I have a choice as to what I'm going to sew on, it's going to be a computerized machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel like once you go computerized, you'll never go back. There's nothing wrong with mechanical machines. it's just a different experience. You get a little more bells and whistles, and it makes your sewing experience a little easier, more efficient. Like needle up down, scissor snips, the scissor snips alone. I will never personally own a computerized sewing machine that doesn't have scissor snips. speed control is a big thing.
That's having
different stitch options. And then when you pick a stitch, it sets everything for you. So you don't have to worry. Did I set my length right? My width right? Yeah. Like it's all about making the experience, sewing experience easier, taking some of the guesswork out of it, setting you up for success. So we love computerized machines. This next one I kind of talked about already. It's my 30x60 self-healing reversible cutting mat. This was an investment, but when I built my cutting table, I built it to fit this mat.
Yeah.
And so it fits my table perfectly edge to edge. And I do have like an inch on either end of my cutting table. And I did that intentionally so that I could like clip like a light or a phone stand or something to it without damaging my mat. But other than that, it goes edge to edge this way where I cut from. So I love that mat. It's an investment. It's a big mat.
Olfa mat.
Mm-hmm.
I stole from my mom.
This is a Moretti, a Martelli. Martelli. I can never say the name right. It's Martelli. That's the one that I have. It's purple and yellow. Well, we already kind of talked about these.
Well, if you're going to get one, you might as well get the set.
She's talking about the Alizo iron and the mini iron.
Yes. Got to get matching hair.
They are a family affair.
Yeah.
And there's a time and place for both. Friction pins. So when we were talking about like beginner marking tools, like fabric marking tools for beginners, the friction pins are my absolute favorite go-to. Ashley's favorite and go-to is Taylor's chalk. So we are a little different. I do use Taylor's chalk. But when I can use a friction pin,
I feel so professional. I feel like a tailor. I feel like I should be like in a little shop in like Paris or something like that. And I'm like, would you like me to hem your pants?
But I don't want to hem anybody's pants, so I'm going to go friction pins. I find it very helpful when I'm laying out like quilting patterns and stuff to you.
Yep.
Industrial sewing machine. We put this on our favorites, even though it's on the wish list, because her and I both have them. Yeah. I got mine this year, and it's probably one of my favorite additions to my sewing space. I just wish I had more time to play with it and use it. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to be one of my goals in the new year is to spend more time with it and learn to use it more. But I do love sewing on it. When I sit and sew on it, I enjoy it's just a different experience.
It is. And you know, so yours fun. Is a newer version, but like I love my industrial, and it was built in the 70s, like
50 years old.
It doesn't matter how old an industrial is. They're amazing across the board. They are workhorses. They last forever and ever.
Yeah.
And they're
absolutely. And that's why I said, just look on Facebook Marketplace, because these are like machines that like are built to last.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They are. And then the last thing that I feel like I can't live without in my sewing space is pattern weights.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love
my pattern weights. Big washers from Home Depot. And I've even gone as far as covering them in polymer clay to make them cuter. But you can use anything. But
yes,
I love those.
We had Raven on not that long ago, and she started making resin weights that are really pretty, and she does custom ones. And so I know she's making them left and right, and she sells out all the time. And I love that. So go support her and her weights. I will say my favorite weights are the ones that came with the Ditto.
Oh yeah. Those are nice. Like, you can't buy those separately. Can you?
No, they need to add them.
Sell them separately.
I've asked. I think eventually they might, but not yet. Maybe next year. I don't know. They are so nice.
Yeah.
So nice. They're so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
They're solid. They stack really nice. So I have them stacked on my shelf, and I just grab them and just kind of
mess a lot into each other. Yeah.
I will say, though, they do not feel good when they drop on your toe. Okay. Been there, done that. Not fun. Other than that, fantastic weights.
They're super
fantastic weights.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's our top picks of favorite things that we love in our sewing spaces that we just can't put a dollar amount on. We love them so much. They're worth it. So that's our list.
We we'll have, like we said, we will have it all written out for you because it was a lot coming at you. We totally get it. So don't feel overwhelmed.
We just said everything that's in our sewing room in this one episode.
Yep.
But we wanted to make sure that we covered the basis for everybody.
Yeah.
Are there other tools that are specific to specific types of sewing that we didn't mention? Absolutely.
Sure.
But in a general sense, we feel like this kind of gets your brain thinking, your wheels turning, and maybe there's things on your wish list that we didn't mention, but you can use this list to, we have a list and it says my sewing wish list, and it's got lines for you to fill in the things with a little checkbox next to them. So you can literally print it out and hand it to them.
Yeah.
Now, if they don't utilize that, don't come at us. Okay. We can't make them use the list. We can only give them the tools and resources. Okay. But I hope this helps you think about what you might need in your space, what you might need to get started sewing, maybe some things that you can utilize in your space to start organizing a little better and gain control of all of your supplies. You know, just think outside the box, and I hope this helps spark some inspiration. I hope this kind of helps you wrap your head around like maybe some things you want that you're always kind of like, I don't know. At the end of the day, the one thing we didn't put on this list is a gift card to the fabric store. So it could be your favorite fabric store. It could be a box store. It could be an online store. You tell them, maybe add that to the list. Like, I would like a gift card to XYZ fabric company or XYZ sewing shop locally, or you know, that then I can go pick out exactly what I want. You know, it's okay to ask for those things, but there are people who like to gift you something besides a gift card.
Yeah.
And this should help. So anyways, go to our website, check out the blog post where all the links are and the downloadable PDF to print off and make your own Christmas wish list. We only have 12 days left, 12 days left.
Yeah, and you can take the Amazon links and then make an Amazon wish list. And if you want to just send that
someone
link
not to your local
significant other, then there you go.
We can really set them up for doing success. Yes. Yes,
I have I have an Amazon wish list. So it's there. And anybody that I know, they're wondering, just go click on it. Don't ask me anything.
We both have Amazon wish lists. I share mine with my family. And my son makes one for stuff he wants because he's got his dad's family, my family, you know, extended family, family that's not local, that they still want to send him something. And then it makes it so easy.
It does.
So utilize
like
that.
Registering. Cool. Remember registering?
Yeah.
You're like your baby shower, your wedding. Like, why not register for Christmas?
I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. I love it. So, all right, guys. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this. We hope this helps you communicate what you really want for Christmas.
Yeah.
And hopefully be on the receiving end of some of these things that you want. Yeah. If so, please share with us. We want to see what you got, what Santa brought you. And this is a fun time. And we know the season is not about gifts. That is a big part of, you know, our culture. So we definitely wanted to give you guys some tools to help with creating your wish list for this year if you haven't already. All right, guys.
Right.
Thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed this, and we'll see you next week for the next episode. Happy sewing.